gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Live, everybody. Election week. Everybody, heads up. All right. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
And the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you in part by The Last Open Road. Where is The Last Open Road? What is The Last Open Road? Have you traveled The Last Open Road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
All right. Wow. Wow, you can tell it's election week. We have a big White House economist. Somebody coming up in a few minutes.
Yes, Ronnie Chatterjee is his name.
You got to look deeper into this. You know what I did this weekend because I'm a geek?
What?
I looked deeper into the jobs numbers.
Yeah,
really, really. Much better. I mean, remember everybody said on the right, oh, they're bogus, they're cooked up, and you watch when they'll revise them, they're going to revise them suddenly next month.
Yeah.
And that's true. They did revise them upwards.
Yes.
They're even better than we thought. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. We have Rude Pundit coming up, who has some great stuff, as usual. It's what I was
thinking. Rude, I'm guessing.
Do you have my Throne of Lies? Because that's what I was thinking. He writes a great piece about, will America elect somebody whose campaign is based entirely? Will we put someone on the Throne of Lies?
You sit on a throne of lies.
Will Mitt Romney sit on a throne of lies? No.
Computer says no.
No, I say no. No. Can you run a campaign based totally on lies and get elected?
The president ruined the terrific economy inherited from George Bush.
No, dear God.
And all of the
we cut all taxes for rich people.
All of the morning shows are saying, it is such a close race this morning. It's a really, 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 really close race. I'm like, no. Nate Silver is saying it's getting even further apart.
Yeah, and
Nate Silver, I trust.
Just so you know about Nate Silver and his big gay numbers.
Yeah.
He's been the...
The
most accurate,
the
rightiest
writer.
We should say we don't know that he's gay.
It doesn't matter.
That's a joke.
It's
based
been
on
applied
the
to him because they hate his numbers. Ergo, he must be a mo.
Thank you.
A big mo.
This is why I love Eric Bowler.
No, apparently short mo. Short, skinny one.
Yeah. Eric Bowler joins us next hour. He says, tune into the Sunday talk shows now and hear cries of it's tied to understand why DC Press has no interest in Nate Silver's math. Okay. Because they need it to be a horse race.
Close. Yeah, in order to get ratings.
Okay.
It's hotter than a Times Square Rolex.
Sure. Jesse Williams of Grey's Anatomy joins us.
Yeah.
Blythe Danner and sexy liberal Hal Sparks live in studio. Hour number three.
Wow.
Tomorrow on the big show, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Wow.
And one other huge celebrity to be named later.
Huge.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. All right. Lots of great stuff going around the interwebs. I love this. Hypocrisy. Mitt Romney says he'll balance the budget in 8 to 10 years, but slams Obama for not doing it in 4.
Right. Yeah.
And he still won't tell you how he plans to do it. He's saving all that good info for after we elect him. All right. Leanne in Orange County writes, Steph, my children love your bumper music, Walking on Sunshine. My six-year-old knows when she hears the music, it's time for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
I'm walking on sunshine. Wow. I'm walking on sunshine. Wow. I'm going to feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Maggie?
Yeah. Say hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi. Okay. I feel like
that kid is probably 25 now.
Yeah.
I feel like that other little girl going around the internet that's crying. Ah, the election to be over.
Bronco Obama!
Ah. Oh, God, when will it be over?
I'm tired of Rick Romney and Bronco Obama.
I love that. Bronco Obama.
Awesome. Anyway, Leanne says, I've also posted cookies and freedom on my Facebook page. I've gotten several likes. I hope to smell cookies and freedom tomorrow.
Mm.
Me too.
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler said the president smells like cookies and freedom.
Yep. Speaking of that.
I can smell it baking right now.
Speaking of that, the sexy liberal documentary was on Current last night, and I watched it for the first time.
Really?
Yes.
How is it?
It's quite lovely.
Thank you.
And I had no idea that Jim and I were in the closing credits.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We got special thanks, Jim.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't authorize that.
Just for being nice.
Well, I'm sure I authorized that. I probably was drunk, though.
Probably.
All right. Have I mentioned that Mitt Romney has a campaign based entirely on lies, including this latest Chrysler ad that Chrysler had to say? By the way, he's full of Since when has a major car company had to say a major presidential candidate is full of
Yeah.
Just saying. This guy will lie to you. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Oh, that's 70s Casio.
60s.
60s?
60s music.
You see this guy, this guy will lie to you.
Yeah.
Love this song.
Yes, I'm a liar who wants red states to not turn blue. Tell me now what you fear. I'll tell you what you want to hear. My plans are shaky, so glad they can't spot a fakie, but I've talked some talk. The fact checkers call false. Yes, I'm a liar. You must admit that I've got balls. Tell me why. It's so close. My campaign has been a big joke. The race has tightened, 'cause races have all been frightened, and I need their vote.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Wow.
That was a production.
To the
70s.
Yikes.
No, 60s.
Was that
the
60s?
Yes,
right.
Burt Bacharach.
What was the original song called?
This guy's in love
with you.
Yes.
Oh, you're such a tot. This guy's in love with you.
Yeah, okay. I'm a 43-year-old tot.
You're
that just means you're old.
I always love Borowitz. Romney airdrops $2 billion in small bills over Ohio.
Yeah.
Desperation time in the Romney camp. The Romney campaign hoping that the crisp currency shipped directly from Las Vegas to Ohio by Consumo billionaire Sheldon Adelson will help close the gap with President Obama in the waiting hours. Mr. Romney's campaign manager denied the dumping of several metric tons of money state of Ohio represented desperation on his candidate's part. This is all part of our closing argument, which is vote for Mitt Romney and money will fall from the skies into your yard. Oh, my God. Yeah, talk about two sets of facts. So have you noticed last week the increasing number of right-wing callers that want to talk about Benghazi?
Yeah.
Those are these paid people.
Exactly.
I know when I hear Rush Limbaugh start to talk about it last week, Fox News is about to come out with this report, ladies and gentlemen, and it's complete
crap.
It's complete. Look, and even when you heard it, you're like, really? The president had a video feed and he watched Americans die and he refused any
of
calls
course,
for it? Sure,
as
that
you
makes
do.
That seems like that would be plausible.
Well, I mean, to a moron who listens to Rush Limbaugh.
Well, up until then, their story was he was at an event in Las Vegas.
Right.
So did he have the video feed in his teleprompter?
God.
Well, sure. At that event
by the way,
in Las Vegas?
Guess what Reagan did the day after the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut? He went to 3 campaign events in Iowa the very next day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's so, like, last-minute desperation. Yeah. I mean, the CIA and the Pentagon, by the way, first of all, they're supposed to keep things secret that are happening over there, but they've had to take this unprecedented step because it is a completely false report on Fox News right before the election.
Yep.
That is just, it's strange credulity, even if you hate the president.
Yeah, if I were the Pentagon.
They were told to stand down and not help the American. Really?
Yeah. To watch them die, yes.
If I were the Pentagon, I would pull Fox News' press pass for spreading crap like this.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we have a fancy economist from the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Why these jobs numbers are even better than you think if you really delve into them and why they were revised upward and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 16 minutes after the hour. We roll along. Election week. Woot! On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Girl, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Aha, uh-huh, it is
like a
boom. Yeah, yeah. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Ronnie Chatterley is a senior economist at the White House Council of Economic Advisors. That sounds fancy. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for coming on. I was saying, because I'm a geek, I've been going through the jobs numbers over the weekend. That's what I do. But, you know, it was interesting. Piece in the LA Times, jobs report arouses new optimism, and that's because if you delve into it, it's better than we thought. I mean, we were saying, remember when the right wing was screaming, oh, these are cooked. They cooked the jobs. No, you wait and see. They're going to be revised downward. Well, what happened, Ronnie?
Well, they were actually revised upwards, yes. Stephanie. I mean, I'm a geek just like you, so
thank
I've
you.
Been looking into the jobs numbers, and not only we come up with 171,000 jobs, which is fantastic, in last month, October, they actually upwardly revised the numbers in September and going back. So things are looking better now than we even thought they were. You know, the unemployment rate ticked up only because more people entered the workforce looking for work, which is also another signal of optimism. So things really going in the right direction based on the last jobs report, and I expect them to continue after the election and President Obama's reelected.
Here is the part that irked me in the LA Times piece. It said it does suggest whoever wins Tuesday could enjoy increased economic momentum heading into next year. God forbid that's Mitt Romney. He'll go, look what I did.
Just
like he was for the auto bailout, the president did exactly what he said.
Yeah, you make a good point, Stephanie. What I tell people about this election is one of the reasons it's so important is because depending on who wins, they're going to claim a mandate for their ideas and their policies. And if Governor Romney were to win and the economy were to recover because of the policies we put in place during the last 4 years, they would claim a vindication for supply-side economics and large tax cuts. And we just know that's not the case. So another reason, if you needed one more to vote, is that these ideas have been working, the economy is moving in the right direction, and we can't let the wrong folks get the credit for where the economy is going.
That's right. Well, and I'm looking again, delving into the numbers. Job numbers expanded across a broad range of industries. I mean, that's the other thing you look for, including the long-depressed construction sector. And it's interesting. They make the point, which sounds, in bad timing, but it says that part of the economy should get a further lift in the next couple months from rebuilding, unfortunately, from the devastating storm. Go ahead.
Sorry, Stephanie. No, I mean, two things. One is obviously our hearts and our prayers are with the folks who've suffered during this storm. And after these disasters, it's often true that there's a boom in construction as people are rebuilding. But, sort of before when the report came out, employment in construction edged up in specialty trades, for example, by about 17,000 jobs. And that's just a sign, I think, that, we're moving into recovery in the housing market as well. You know, you've seen some really positive signs in the housing area, and that's sort of been one of the lagging indicators we've been waiting for. So I think that's good news on the construction front as well.
Well, and speaking, I was mentioning the auto rescue, but again, the other unfortunate, but they're saying that there's also going to be a huge jump because so many people's cars have been demolished on the East Coast as well. I mean, like I say, just, that's not a good reason, but you're right. Construction, auto, a lot of these industries are already doing so much better, will probably continue, right?
Yes, I mean, and you think about the auto bailout in particular, that was a tough call, and the president's made a lot of tough calls in the last 4 years, and that was one where it wasn't really clear whether politics would even line up, and, he made the call to save the American auto industry, and now they're back. And you look back at those things, and that's why I think I'm almost more excited to vote in 2012 than I was in 2008, because we have this record to run on that I'm really proud of. And that call was one of the toughest, and it turned out to be the right call.
But, Ronnie, what you just said, I've said that over and over. It is amazing to me, and I think because we've become so partisan, that this president's record can be spun as anything but a huge success. I mean, most normal economists would tell you he literally did pull us from the brink of a great recession. I mean, not just the, you look at these numbers, I mean, you look at any graph, right? I mean, this is absolutely the right direction.
Right. You don't even need to be an economist, Stephanie, right?
No.
You can just look at a graph. And I totally agree. I think, we were facing the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. It bears repeating, and the president, really took bold action from the very beginning with the Stimulus Act, which worked. An independent economist, concur that 3 million jobs created or saved. And that was really what got us on the road to recovery. And that's even before you start to talk about health care, Lilly Ledbetter, Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, Dodd-Frank, and all the other things that happened over the last 4 years. I think, when we look at this record in historical context, I think people will recognize how much was actually done over the last 4 years and the crisis that we averted with some of these steps.
Absolutely. Ronnie, Jonathan Alter had a piece interesting. He said the most important data in Friday's unemployment report wasn't the strong, the top line, 171,000 new jobs. Pay closer attention, as you were talking about, to the revisions from August and September, most notably August. They're much closer to the mark. For instance, President Obama faced some brutal headlines when the August job report estimated the economy created only 96,000 jobs, right? So in September, it was revised revised up to 142. Today it was re-revised to 192. Turns out the labor market in the summer was quite strong, even though the initial survey suggested otherwise. He makes an interesting point, though. It said that didn't do Obama any favors with headline writers, but those headlines seemed to have no impact on the race at the time, probably because the real labor market that real people work and see and seek work in felt much sturdier than the news story suggested. Interesting point.
Yeah, I think that that Jonathan Alter makes a good point there, which is that, you know, sometimes these numbers that show up on the headlines, it's just a snapshot of 1 month, and they're often revised. So we sit in the White House and look at these numbers and, you know, caution people not to read too much into 1 month's number, good or bad, you know. And you actually have to look at them over the long term, one, to kind of average a bunch of months together and figure out what the trend is, and two, account for these revisions, which can go upward, as they did here. And I think he's right that, you know, one of the reasons it didn't affect the race is it probably didn't match what people were seeing in their own communities. You know, people's friends were starting to get back to work, the economy was improving locally, and folks probably didn't relate to those headlines during the summer, and now we're seeing why.
Well, you know, and Ronnie, it's interesting. We talk about, like, literally in such a partisan environment, and there have become two sets of facts. I mean, I literally have heard people on Fox News, like, just pull numbers out of thin air and go, well, you know, the real number of unemployed is probably closer to 47%. It's what? Like, you know, that's the thing is there's only so much you can argue about hard numbers, right?
Right. I mean, you know, it's a great saying. We're entitled to our own opinions, but not our own facts. And I think the best thing you can do is have the facts at your disposal. Tell the story about how we created over 5 million new jobs. Talk about the downward trend in unemployment. Talk about GDP growth. If you have those numbers, and they can be sourced very easily, if you can just do a Google search, you can find all these things from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Bureau of Economics and a bunch of other sources here that we can give, and you'll be able to have those numbers at your disposal. That's the best way to deal with these talking points.
Here's the one we just mentioned last week that drives me crazy. How many times has Mitt Romney repeated there's 23 million Americans out of work? And it's not even so much him, but the mainstream media should cut away from that and go, well, the actual number's 12. But anyway, that was Mitt Romney. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't just double a number and say that's true.
Especially with such big consequences in this election. I mean, the good news is, you know, we do have some fact checkers out there, and although their campaign said they wouldn't be dictated by these fact checkers, people are reading them and paying attention to them and when they debunk these claims. The second thing is, you know, when I went out to do my own early voting here in North Carolina, I saw such enthusiasm. There were such long lines. People were really excited about getting the chance to vote. You know, the statistics, you know, people know when they're being spun, and people know when these statistics are being made up. So I do think, you know, for folks who are feeling despair that when they see these false claims, these bad statistics, you need to fight back with the truth, and in the end, people will get the message. I think that's already happening.
Ronnie, any truth to the rumor that the job numbers are entirely fact checkers for Mitt Romney? Those are the jobs that are mostly.
Well, we'll have to look into that one.
All right. Ronnie Chatterjee of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Thanks so much, Ronnie. Happy Election Day.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
All right.
Tomorrow.
Have a good one tomorrow. Tomorrow. Well, yes. Tomorrow.
Okay. I didn't want to send people to polls today.
And tomorrow.
Okay.
Some people can vote early. All right, 29.
Stephanie Miller said.
Shush, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Ruth Pundit.
How's that?
Stephanie Miller Show.
Going. It's only day three, but I understand how the whole world works now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Dana in Maryland, real quick. Hey, Dana.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for the people I chat with every day, and we love you.
Aww.
And we're true fans, and we know how hard you guys work.
Not really.
And how little that you sleep, and you've really kept us going. And you know, let's go Obama tomorrow.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to hear the excuses when he wins.
Yeah, and the whining is what will be really entertaining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we got to play the little baby crying. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. A quick tip for Chris.
Hi. Yes.
That was Burt Bacharach.
Thank you. That's what
I said. Okay, from Rocky Mountain Mike.
Apparently, it was a Herb Alpert song.
Note to self.
I have a CD suggestion for you.
Yes.
It's with Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach, and it's called Painted by Memory, and
right.
It's a beautiful, stunning album.
Yeah.
Note to self: don't hire Tiny Tot as producer.
Absolutely gorgeous. So thanks, you guys.
All right.
We love you.
All right.
Keep going.
All right. Forward. Fire it up. Ready to go.
I am familiar. With the Burt Bacharach Irv.
Teeny tiny tot. Okay, it's Monday. Let's get rude.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Redness. is?
Good morning. I feel like I should sing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
So great stuff as usual. I love the, here's a few fun quotes you can use on your right-wing uncle this weekend. It never hurts to look backward in order to move forward. But, you know, there's so much, but you focus on his time as governor of Massachusetts. I heard Governor Romney describe his record, and as I understand it, his record was that he raised taxes by $730 million. He called them fees.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even good on conservative issues, right?
No, and that's exactly what the post is about. It's when McCain was launching into him, and you could find the same thing from Gingrich launching into him this election. But I just think it's if there's one thing that you can say to conservatives is go back to 2008, 2007, and you'll find that doubt there. That should keep you away from the polls. You should just stay home.
Speaking of McCain, I love your description. Let's leave you with McCain, the bitterest elf ever to run for president. Who said of Romney in 2008, Ronald Reagan would not approve someone who changes their positions depending on what the year is.
And if Reagan said it, if zombie Reagan could rise,
here you go again.
Yeah. He'd leave that brain behind because it just has flopped around too much.
Yes. You also say, to tell your right-wing uncle, Romney's job creation was the third worst in the country, leaving the people of Massachusetts with a $245 million debt because of the big government-mandated health care system.
Yep. And then the funny thing, of course, is that Romney, back before Obama, you know, created the evil version of Romney's healthcare plan.
Right.
That he himself was talking about how great it was and how the nation should consider embracing it. Because it was so splendiferous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and I love that he's trying to sell bipartisanship when, you know, what was it, like 700, you know, vetoes were overridden by the Massachusetts legislature? What kind of bipartisanship is that?
Right. That's the thing is, like, he was in a position where either he went along with what Democrats wanted or it was just he'd never have his name on anything.
Another one, you say, while the rest of the country was losing 7% of manufacturing jobs while he was governor, 14% of the manufacturing jobs left Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Huh.
Thank
what a coincidence.
You. Thank you, John McCain.
Yes. Yeah,
and we don't know what percentage of that were just the ones that Bain Capital, the companies they bought.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say my personal favorite, we were saying I agree with the little crying girl that's sick of the election. In the waning days of his exhausting campaign, the Root Pundit couldn't hate his internet connection or TV more if they were possessed by barbed face-raping demons.
Oh, dear.
One of the strategies of the Romney campaign has tossed on the bonfire to see if it catches as mid as human, just like you and me. And I love it. I would have thought that was going okay, Rude, until I saw today's headline. Romney staffer on letting frostbitten child leave Pennsylvania rally. It's not cold enough for that.
No. Yeah. I know. Isn't that great? And now they're imprisoning people to vote for him. That's what you're going to get is voter imprisonment camps. Come on, Glenn Beck. Why aren't you talking about that?
God. Some poor child is like, my daughter's frostbitten. Can we leave? No.
No.
We're not going to let you out of this barricade that you voluntarily came to.
Mitt, in an effort to look human, recreates the little match girl.
That's
perfect.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, it's like he's threatening your children's fingers if you don't vote for him.
Yeah.
How many fingers will it cost your child for you to pull the switch for me?
How much did you spend on violin lessons?
And your final post, which, of course, I'm preemptively hearing my mother in my head saying, oh, dear, is a filthy end to the filthy campaign of a filthy liar. But I must say that is a fitting coda.
Yeah.
I just asked this question a few minutes ago, where you say we have no time to entertain whether or not the Republican charlatan's long con will work. We have no patience for a press that's unwilling to call a lie a lie. On some level, it seems as if the campaign of Mitt Romney is a mad sociologist experiment in seeing how many lies people are willing to either believe or let pass and still vote for a candidate. I just said that this weekend. Romney was revealed to be the robot we all suspected he was, and the scientist controlling the levers and buttons gave a press conference where he said he was using the machine to try to gauge just how racist and stupid the nation actually is. It could be.
Yeah. I think we're going to discover that we're 47% racist and stupid. It's the reverse 47% from what's the 47% that will actually punch that button for Romney. Of course, up here, we're going to be, you know, going old fashioned, you know, scrawling X's onto paper.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Do you have electricity where you are?
I just got it back Saturday, but hi. I just drove through Hoboken this morning.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's a thing you got to do every now and then. but truly, right now, you know, all kidding aside, Hoboken is just totally screwed. It's most power isn't on all over. It's a creepy place.
And apparently, it's really cold there today.
Yeah, it's in the 30s today, and then just because God wants to be, you know, a total d-bag, he's sending a nor'easter our way.
And there was an earthquake in New Jersey also.
Oh, there was an earthquake?
A 2.0 earthquake in northern New Jersey this morning.
And we're no longer allowing Chris Christie jogging jokes because now he's on our side.
Yeah,
he's the president's top campaign surrogate. Yeah,
yesterday he came out and said he was still voting for Romney.
I don't believe him. He's going to vote for Obama when he gets in the booth. I just know it.
If you want to get deeply psychological about that press conference, there was, when he was asked the question, there was a sort of sigh of, all right, look, I'm going to vote for Romney.
Well, you heard the whole story. We'll get to it later, but that he apparently was, you know, supposed to be the VP pick, and I love how's that working out for you, Mittens? You're losing Wisconsin.
Well, I mean,
you picked the budget monster, and now, yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, just the thing is once Jeb Bush and Chris Christie decided they weren't running, that meant that the smart narcissists in the GOP decided, nobody's going to beat Obama. So it was left to the dumb narcissist to actually run for president. And so the dumbest, richest narcissist of them all is the one that got nominated. And you know what? I don't want him just to lose. I want him to be disgraced.
Right.
I want him to disappear.
This piece, Rudy, I mean, this is exactly what I was saying. It's just, it's, you say there is something so deeply galling, so disturbing in how Romney lies. The post-primary campaign began in a lie that Obama was dissing job creators. It now ends with a lie that those job creators are moving their jobs to China because Obama failed them. A lie so ludicrous, the CEO of Chrysler had to refute it. In between, Romney has leashed a stream of lies, each one easily proven false, but he was relentless, and come on, there's only so many hours in a day. I love you put to rest this phrase flip-flop. You say, we use the cute phrase flip-flop to describe Romney's change of positions, but they're not mere shifts in position. They're lies that get to the core of the man's beliefs, such as they aren't. And we could ask if Romney was lying in the past when he was very moderate, then intensely conservative, or now, when he's somewhat more moderate again, but except for abortion, Romney refuses to admit that he's changed his position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, that's just Mitt. That's what you get when you get Romney. You know, he's just going to shift around in his positions like a piece of overboiled spaghetti in the wind.
Elton John, I hear him running to a piano now.
Overboiled spaghetti in the wind.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old, Are You Lying Now or Were You Lying Then? Or what the hell? What movie is that from?
Witness
anyway?
For the Prosecution.
There you go.
Charles
Thank
Lawton.
You.
Yeah, yeah. What
question is, were you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
That always takes me by surprise, even though I've heard
that. Yes, yes. I wasn't expecting that. Was that Charles Lawton?
Yes, that was Charles Lawton, yes.
Wow. Yeah, because the only answer for Romney is just yes to all of it. His position is whatever the lie is.
Well, that's when he was caught. What was that thing he said? Whatever I said, I stand by it. Like, he literally has no idea what I said.
Right.
What he said.
I firmly believe in anything you want me to say.
Right.
Right. Whatever I said at the time, I stand by it.
Yeah.
Which is just, it means that you don't give a damn what you said at the time.
Yeah, and you say the storm, the final nail in Romney's coffin, the sealing of which was a long time coming. President Obama didn't up the response to Sandy as Romney might have hoped. He made Romney seem like the tiny, insignificant, rich that he is. And even New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has decided he's sick of the effete poser and tossed Romney under the number 2016 bus. And you're right. I mean, it looked like a hostage video. Did not look very convincing. Yeah, I'm going to... Sure.
Yeah.
Right. I said I was going to vote for him. I'm going to vote for him. All right. And President Obama knows I'm going to vote for Romney. Wink, wink.
Prove I didn't vote for him. Okay?
Yeah.
Right. Follow me.
Hey, off mic, he says they can't see me in the booth, right?
Right. Well, they couldn't fit a camera in there.
I'm telling you right now, he's voting for President Obama. I just know it.
Oh, he's voted for President Obama because he needs Obama to win so he can run in 2016.
There you go.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
There you
go. That's it. It's going to be Christie 2016. And the only thing that really annoys me about Christie is I really wish we had somebody like him on our side.
Well, we did this past couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you know.
Tough talking. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a couple of weeks of it is fine, but he also was there. He also became sort of the major spokesperson for the Obama campaign.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
And Krugman, Paul Krugman's column today is all about the response between Sandy and Katrina and just laying out there saying, right. you know, big government isn't the enemy. You know, and he quotes the old Ronald Reagan line where Reagan got cheers. I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and Rude, I mean, Chris Christie proved Obama's point better than anyone ever could have, that he has always been bipartisan and has always reached, you know, across the aisle to help anybody who will work with him. And, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the missing narratives from this campaign.
It blew Romney's whole closing argument. It was like that scene in Bruce Almighty. It was Romney's in the middle of his closing argument.
Someone in our chat room, Rude, says that we kind of do have a Chris Christie-like character on our side, and that would be Alan Grayson. And you know what? That's a very good point.
It is
true. Yeah, if we could get the right to stop, you know, stop trying to swat him down every time that he gets some traction.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's just bad. Oh, that's rude. By the way, but a lot of these, you know, he's up against a teabagger. I'm sure he's going to win. We're having Jim Graves on today, who I think is going to beat Michelle Bachmann. I mean, a lot of these teabaggers are going down, Rude.
Oh, yeah.
Just working airplane.
As you might say.
It really is one of, yeah.
Well.
it really will be something if we start to lose the standard bearers for the Tea Party. And if nothing else should be a sign to Republicans to turn back to moderate. It would be somebody as high profile as Bachmann down the.
Yes. Well, yeah, I don't think she's
disappearing into the gaping maw.
And there's a stylist out of work. Poor Marcus. Poor Marcus.
Just livid.
All right, somebody must need a bone white suit in Minnesota besides Michelle. I'm sure he can find work.
It's clearly a crew.
All right. Rudeness, a happy election week. See you next week, honey.
All right. Bye.
All right, there he goes. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This is how we do.
Like this.
I've been doing it wrong.
Yep. 52.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour.
Are you running?
1-800. Shut up. 1-800-712 the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right.
I thought she was churning butter.
Yeah. Election day tomorrow, so many Mitt Romney lies, so little time, I can only do one at a time. Journalistic superstar, healthcare geek. Hello, good morning, Jackie Shatner.
Good morning.
So, all right, we need an entire team to shoot down one lie after another.
Yeah.
You mentioned this last week, but I had time to read the whole thing that you sent me. Romney's been on the campaign trail saying the reason a lot of people can't get doctors now is because of the president's Medicare cuts.
Yes.
A lot of the doctors, you know, they call office after office and they say, oh, we're not taking any more Medicare patients. Explain, please.
It has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act.
Thank you.
Yes. In fact, the Affordable Care Act offers payments to primary care physicians at an increased rate because we're trying to incentivize more primary care physicians. So it actually has nothing to do with it. It has to do with what's called the Doc Fix, and it's been a problem really since 1997.
Right. You sent me this piece. It's from 2010. Yeah. Call it Medicare's version of Groundhog Day.
Yeah. It's called the Doc Fix. You hear about it every few months or so. And basically the idea is to figure out how to how to keep costs down within Medicare and still pay doctors a reasonable rate. And it's a problem that just keeps coming up over and over again, but it's totally separate from the Affordable Care Act, has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And really, doctors would like a long-term solution. It's something Congress keeps coming up with a stopgap measure, and they have to keep revisiting it. It's really a congressional dysfunction, and it has absolutely nothing to do with health care reform.
Well, this is what I was telling you. You and I were talking a lot. You know, it started with, like, just right-wing emails. Oh, my mother can't get a doctor, you know, because of Obama, because of Obamacare. They won't take Medicare. And then Romney started saying it on the campaign trail last week, which is just, you know, there's no difference anymore.
Because what they'd like to do is scare people. Right. And so the best way to do it is to say something like, you're not going to be able to get a doctor, there's going to be ration care, we're taking all this money out of Medicare, and that's not where the money's coming from. It's the savings from getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, and slowing the rate of growth. We're not cutting payments to providers, we're not rationing care, and a good portion of the money that we're saving is going right back into Medicare. It's all going back into health care overall. So it's not like you're stealing from Medicare to give to health care reform, which is some crazy mocked-up government bureaucracy that they fabricated in their heads. It's all money that's being saved. We're being fiscally responsible. We're recycling that money back into the healthcare system. A large portion of it's going back into Medicare, and then another portion of it's going to help people pay for healthcare and afford health insurance, which is something that we as a nation need. Because ultimately we subsidize the cost if people don't have health insurance.
In fairness, Jackie, the president has not had time to make sure your mother doesn't get a doctor. He was too busy ordering the death of Americans in Benghazi. On the video feed.
I thought he was actually too busy creating Hurricane Sandy.
Yes. Right. Well, that's obviously. Alex Jones did try that one.
Yeah, that he seeded the hurricane. Cloud seeded the hurricane.
All right.
As those Muslim Kenyans will do.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Jackie Schechner, healthcare superstar. Thank you, honey.
My pleasure, darling.
All right. You know what? I need an entire team to refute. I just got bang. It's like Romney lie clay pigeons. Pull. Okay. So we see already today. Had an economist from the White House to debunk the whole jobs numbers things. Healthcare, Jackie Schechner, poll! Okay. All right. And what else? Rude pundit was a whole bunch of other lies. That was a whole... All right. Thank you. Sarah in Wisconsin.
Oh, you have something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
I wanted to talk to you about a very interesting conversation that I had with a Republican friend of mine.
Uh-oh.
She was throwing lies at me, and she says that the United States is the last non-socialized nation in the country.
In the world, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I can't talk this morning. I'm nervous. Right. Stephanie's my idol, so. and then I felt like Obama in the first debate because she was spewing lies at me.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't defend this because you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
She
well, it's like right-wing callers. When right-wing callers call here, you'll see, like, they won't respond to my response to one of their things with the fact they just go right to the next lie.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. And she was bringing up the labor statistics and how they were fake. And I'm like, how come when they were right and they were, you know, bad for Obama, they were perfect?
Right.
And then now they're good for Obama and they're bad.
Sarah, does she understand how many non-political appointees across how many agencies and how many thousands of people that would have to involve to cook the jobs numbers?
Oh, that's what they want you to think.
I told her that and then she just started yelling at me. So.
Of course.
If you can't be right, be loud.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I was like, I can't argue with this. I just looked at her stoic. I was like, I watch your show every day and I know the facts and I do the research. And I was like, I can't pull them out of my butt right now because... I don't know what to say to you because you just keep lying to me.
Right. Well, it's like Randy Rhodes always says, don't listen to me. Go read.
Yeah.
50-80 after. Because, no, it's true. I mean, because, I think she makes the point that because so many of these right-wingers like Rush lie, people won't, I heard it on the radio. It's like, don't listen to me. Go look at the graphs. Go look at the economic numbers. It's 12 million out of work, not 23. Go. Look. Read.
Numbers are renowned liars.
58 minutes after. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on.
find out tomorrow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Blythe Danner coming up.
Yep.
Sexy liberal Hal Sparks, proving once again we have way better, way hotter surrogates. Tomorrow, Sarah Jessica Parker on the big show, and also another big one, we think.
Okay.
Almost confirmed. Okay.
Have you seen a picture of Jesse Williams, who we have coming up a little bit later on this hour?
Hello now, of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, he's quite the looker.
Oh, look what I got from my new boyfriend. Look.
Your new boyfriend, Chris Cluey?
Yes. I'm a beautiful, unique sparkle pony.
Uh-huh. We couldn't get you the other one.
No. The lustful monster?
Yeah, no.
He
sells t-shirts that say that as well.
Yeah, but that would make Courtney a current stroke out.
Yeah.
She's wearing what? Okay. All right, speaking of awesome surrogates, hello, how do I get every one of Katy Perry's dresses? Have I mentioned my love for Katy Perry? I love her music.
She kissed a girl, you know.
I've heard that.
Right? Somebody tweeted, I'd like to see Meatloaf wear that dress.
Yeah, well.
I want the forward dress. I want the ballot dress.
Mm-hmm.
I want the one with the president's face.
Uh-huh.
She's awesome. And we posted, I don't know if you've seen this, at the Night of Too Many Stars.
Yeah.
She sings a duet with an autistic little girl who's her, you know, she's her biggest fan.
Right.
And is so, oh my God. We
very touching. We posted it up on your Facebook page.
Yeah. And when I saw her here not that long ago at the Obama concert, she was doing the Statue of Liberty outfit with the stars and stripes,
uh-huh.
flag cape, and I don't know, Statue of Liberty microphone, something.
Looks like you belong in Captain America's underpants.
Fabulous. I need that forward dress. Get that for me. Forward.
You don't wear dresses.
Yes, I do.
You wear slacks.
I wear dresses all the time. All right. Let's
you don't wear slinky dresses like that, though.
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
I wear tardy dresses.
Only ones that go with flannel shirts.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America. Doing I'm not that kind of...
Eric Bowler. Eric Bowler.
That's so good.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
Oh, you know, you and your tweets. That's all I have to keep me warm on the weekends. You say, tune into the Sunday talk shows and now hear cries of it's tied to understand why DC Press has no interest in Nate Silver's math. It is fairly incredible, isn't it?
Well, I guess it was inevitable that he would become sort of the target, and he definitely did in the last week or so. You know, the obviously everyone knows the polling blogger of the New York Times who does a little more math and a little less gut than the rest of the pundits. But it's interesting, he came under fire both from the right wing, because hate him, because his numbers don't add up like the way it does. But he also came under fire from sort of the Beltway elites, who for decades have sort of had the corner on, you know, the analysis and the gut market, and they had the inside information the public didn't have.
Right.
About who's really ahead and who's trailing, and Nate has sort of pulled back that curtain and said, well, actually, this is who's winning and this is who's losing, and the rest of it is just sort of noise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and obviously he gives the president now a nearly 84% chance of winning the election, better than a 4-5 favorite to win the Electoral College. He says, you know, the 22 swing state polls published Friday, Obama led in 19 with 2 showing a tie with Mitt Romney. So, you know, it's not just his polls, Eric. The sole poll Romney topped was, he adds, a Mason-Dixon poll of Florida. That's one swing state poll out of 22, right?
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, everyone knows this comes down to electoral math, but the sun, you know, people who know better are the ones saying, oh, it's tied nationally. It's tied nationally. I mean, come on. Who thinks that, you know, does Chuck Todd, I'm not picking on Chuck, but whoever else is on TV, you know, the Sunday shows, I mean, I'm pretty sure they realize this isn't a popular vote. It hasn't been in this country for over a century. But, you know, it sounds so much more interesting. It sounds so more dramatic. It's tied. You know, you don't say, you know, Obama's, you know, Romney's chances of getting to 270 are about 20%. You say it's tied because it's better television.
Right. Well, and you also talk about, still don't understand why press is ignoring clear polling that suggests GOP may be facing a Senate debacle on Tuesday. In addition to, you know, several Tea Party members possibly going down in the House, you know, where's that narrative, right?
Yeah, and maybe it'll become more clear. I mean, if Obama does get 300 electoral votes and, you know, the Democrats actually pick up seats, you know, maybe at that point, you know, that'll be the narrative that, well, you know, this is actually a pretty good a pretty good swing for the Democrats. But, you know, a year ago, the idea that Democrats were going to not only hold in the Senate, but actually might pick up seats, you know, that was unthinkable.
Right.
You know, they had, you know, the whole spin was they got to defend 22 seats. You know, Obama has no coattails at those. I mean, the Republican Senate, you know, races are a debacle. And again, it's the Tea Party just giving away these seats. But you don't really hear much of that.
This was,
you know, Republicans were going to take the Senate. Not only are they not going to take the Senate, they're probably going to lose some seats. It's kind of amazing.
Yep. Eric, got to hit something, your other piece real quick before we go into Right Wing World, because we've been talking about this. It really is amazing. Your piece, Hyping Benghazi Madness, Right Wing Projects Darkest Obama Fantasies. I mean, well, and as you call it, you know, as usual, right on the money, the Benghazi story, or specifically the GOP noise machine, is committing to tell you about, committed to tell about the September 11th terrorist attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya. Perfectly captures the fevered Obama hatred the conservatives have carried throughout his first term. It's a story they seem desperate to broadcast during the final weeks of the campaign. And as you say, in the past, it's now being used as a vehicle for conservatives to spin their ugliest fantasies about a president and to depict him as a heartless traitor who chose to let Americans die at the hands of Islamic terrorists. I mean, this really is kind of incredible.
It's really, really ugly stuff. So obviously Fox News is pounding this. You know, they think it hurts Obama for the election, but, you know, before unemployment went under 8%, they hit unemployment. That didn't work, so they switched to Benghazi. But what's interesting is you take the Benghazi hysteria and you tie it into campaign hysteria and you tie it into the right-wing media, which has depicted Obama as a socialist, as a racist, as a Marxist, and they see he might win, and it just drives this, you know, Benghazi is sort of this right-wing storm that's gaining, you know, strength over the oceans of an election. So it's just creating this cyclone effect.
Right.
And so, okay, well, they've called him a socialist. They've called him a Marxist. What can we call him now? Basically,
a terrorist.
A traitor.
A murderer.
Yeah. I mean, Eric, it's interesting. We were saying, you remember last you know, cycle's conspiracy was that they cooked the job numbers, and you wait and see, they're going to be revised downward, those numbers. Well, the numbers have been revised upward. It turns out they were wrong.
That just proves my point.
I mean, and now, as you say, on Fox News, viewers are told Obama may have sacrificed Americans at the Libyan consulate as part of a political calculation to win re-election. It's reported as fact that Obama made no decision to do anything to rescue Americans in Benghazi, which allowed them to be killed. Worse, Obama watched the video in real time while the terrorists snuffed out American lives. He heard cries for help, and yet he and his team refused to send orders to help. Support wasn't given. In the words of Karl Rove, and as you say, of course, none of that is true. And the The CIA has had to take the extraordinary step and the Pentagon of refuting all that because, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And if you read my Twitter feed, I mean, 10 times a day, I'm told that Obama watched those people die in real time and refused to send in any sort of help. Again, this is the culmination of a 4-year campaign to portray Obama as this murderous traitor. And this Benghazi is the vehicle that finally gets them the chance to do it. And again, you tie that into the election frenzy, this hysteria that he might actually win re-election when he's supposed to be this historical monster. And it's just creating disgusting stuff on Fox News.
Eric, it feels like the death throes of, you know, the final desperation in their campaign.
Yeah,
I mean, Rudy Giuliani literally yesterday said the president should be impeached over the unemployment rate.
Oh! Well, they've certainly talked about impeachment over Benghazi. They've talked about trials of treason. This is, they're absolutely planting the seed. So if Obama wins, well, he wins, but let's start impeachment.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke. He said the president should resign over the unemployment.
He wouldn't have been the first to suggest impeachment stuff.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? All right. Rush Limbaugh, is he just pushing the momentum still? Is that? Yeah.
Sure. It was Romney talking about this country and our future and where we're going and where he's going to take us. Mm-hmm. It was uplifting. It was inspirational. Obama is none of that. And Romney's out there in a suit and tie. I mean, if, side by side, in terms of who looks like they already are president, looks like Romney.
No.
Well, that's certainly reason enough.
Because he wears a suit and tie? So do mannequins.
Honestly, this actually reminds me of people who followed the 2000 campaign. There was this famously awful Mark Shields' appearance on PBS where he was talking about George Bush looked presidential on part because he campaigned in a tie. And all the Gore supporters are just like, are you kidding me? This is the bar we're going to use? And sure enough, here's Bush. Well, Romney's out there in a tie. He must be the guy, you know?
Or that uncensored Chris Matthews moment when Bush landed on the aircraft carrier. Look at the guy! It looks like he served. I mean, he didn't, but he looks like he did.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right.
Nothing like style over substance. He's wearing a tie.
Okay, Jim Pinkerton, Fox News Watch.
So the media's focus on the economy led the Washington Post to do a huge, giant article on Mitt Romney alleged bullying in 1965.
Alleged?
While ignoring Barack Obama's possible
bullying,
which,
more than
which he wrote about himself in the 70s and 80s.
Huh?
Yeah, maybe that'll be the thing that trips Obama up, Eric, the fact that he admitted himself to smoking pot back when he was however old in his book.
Yeah, we saw this a few months ago. The Republicans thought the key to their success was to rerun the 2008 campaign, to do everything they did in 2008, which was claim he was, you know, Obama was embedded and all this stuff. I mean, it's never been a successful reelection campaign strategy is to do exactly what you did in 2000, the 4 years earlier that didn't work. So Pinkerton's claim that, you know, he's still claiming, well, we don't really know who Barack Obama is. Has there ever been anything written by more about a four-year president than Barack Obama? I don't think there has.
Nope.
Absolutely. All right, Eric remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World. 19 minutes after the hour, more Right Wing World with Eric Bowler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn at the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm still the one that can scratch my itch. You're still the one that makes me laugh. We're still having fun, and you're still the one.
What? I'm here. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Oliver North on Fox News.
You have to ask, why was a decision made during the attack not to send U.S. special operators, aircraft and the like, 1 hour away in Sigonella to help repel the attacks? Mm. Why wasn't that decision made? I look at all this and I say, this man has failed as commander-in-chief. Mm. I hope the American people are going to hire a new one next week.
Okay. Well, as we've discussed previously, Eric.
Yeah.
Because none of that is true, essentially. That's, I mean, I love the Time magazine piece, why Romney's not talking about Benghazi anymore.
Yeah.
As desperate as he's gotten, do you think he wouldn't be talking about this if there was any truth to this? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we're already now in a couple of weeks, a couple of months from now, I think you can look back and say the turning point in this campaign was the moment in the second debate when Romney thought he had Obama in this Benghazi gotcha in terms about using active terror. And that is going to be, I think, the turning point when Romney lost the campaign, was when he embraced this crazy right-wing rhetoric. At that point, it was kind of mild. They were just lying that Obama had never said active terror. And now it's become progressively worse. But it's interesting, you're right. He has dropped it, and it was a disaster for him.
But, you know, Eric, it's interesting that Time piece is saying, that it's true the topic blew up on his face, as you just said, in the second debate. But Romney's sudden and complete abandonment of the topic has been something of a mystery. And, you know, as we know, even Paul Wolfowitz, no Obama fan, came out and basically backed the Obama administration, said the military team in Europe was, in fact, mobilized immediately but could not have possibly reached Benghazi in time to save lives. I mean, it's just...
Well, I doubt it's a mystery. I mean, they've got $10 million of internal polling. I'm sure they pulled that story up and down, and it wasn't going anywhere. And B, there's this rather pathetic irony of Oliver North, and yeah, good for Paul Wolfowitz, who's sort of saying, look, you can't second guess this. But in general, the right-wing media, which cheered every Iraq war failure and every fog of war for 7 years, are now obsessed with this one single assault.
Right.
Where was this second guessing? Where was this plea for help? You know,
Yeah, when three,
Iraq
when
war
three,
that,
right.
4,000 Americans.
When 3,000 American died on American soil in the worst security failure in our history, we weren't supposed to politicize that at all, right? I mean, yeah.
I don't remember Oliver North saying anything about that then.
You know, and we didn't need a 9/11 commission, and we didn't need congressional hearings for any of that. So, massive intelligence failure, 9/11, massive intelligence failure, the Iraq War, but that's all okay.
Yep. All right, Sean Hannity on the Obama and Hurricane Sandy.
President comes in, photo op, big hug with Governor Chris Christie, and they're patting each other on the back, and a lot of, we're all doing great, and every politician's name is named. Let's see. We've got 4 days. We've got no electricity for millions. We've got 1 in 3 gas stations open, 6-hour waiting lines. We've got people suffering, freezing, starving, no water, no gas, homes destroyed, and no government. You can't see any FEMA help
here. No government.
Nothing.
No FEMA help.
Yeah, that must be why 80% of the American people think the president did a great job on the response.
And where was that Sean Hannity concern the day after the storm?
Uh-huh.
You know, as Media Matters noted, the night after this epic, once-in-a-century storm floods Fox News' hometown of New York City, Sean Hannity goes on for an hour and talks about Benghazi.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the most disgraceful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, when he saw how this played out politically for the president because of Chris Christie, he decided, that it's an outrage.
Oh. Hey, did you see the New York Post editorial yesterday? Rupert Murdoch's New York Post?
Yes.
New York Post? I like toast better. And the editorial saying to Chris Christie, you have to politicize Hurricane Sandy or else. The Republican Party will never forgive you
if
you don't start talking up Mitt Romney in terms of the context of the storm. Amazing.
Exactly. All right, Sarah Palin on Hannity.
It's quite a shame that, Obama got what he wanted out of that, and that was the photo ops with a Republican governor so that he and the mainstream media could kind of fake that bipartisanship that in no way, shape, or form does President Obama represent.
Wow.
It's unfortunate that they worked together to help solve the problem.
Just making the right thing of it.
Right, and it goes back to this New York Post editorial. Yeah. Chris Christie has to understand there is a blind loyalty to the Republican Party, and there must be a blind hatred of President Obama. And if you break either one of those rules, Sarah Palin and Rupert Murdoch are going to take you to task.
And the great thing
regardless of the context of epic devastation up and down the East Coast.
Because it obviously wasn't a photo op. It was a photo op in which Chris Christie explained everything the president had done and everything federal government had done to help. So it's just a thing of beauty. Eric Bollard, happy Election Day tomorrow. Talk to you next week.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye. There he goes. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So people can just buy your voice?
Oh, the things it's been dragged into.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. This is a great Romney ad on Facebook. Someone said, so what this ad is saying is Batman couldn't stop all the crime in Gotham, so I'm voting for Two-Face?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Makes perfect sense.
Wow, of all the endorsements, The Economist endorses Barack Obama. That's kind of huge.
Huge.
Not all endorsements are created equal. They're writing the London-based The Economist, the world's leading economics-focused newspaper. That's an endorsement. They have endorsed Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, but also Bill Clinton in the past. Given their stated and unflinching independence, as well as the troubled state of the economy in the last 4 years, their endorsement for Obama, not a foregone conclusion. So let's hear it for the
I have proof that The Economist is based in Zimbabwe.
Along with the Salt Lake City Tribune.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two badmintons. All right. So we've said over and over, we have not just the hottest surrogates, but the smartest surrogates for the president in Ohio. Jesse Williams of Grey's Anatomy. Good morning, Jesse. Hello,
good
Jesse.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I've been looking at your mesmerizing eyes online.
Sorry about that. I'm not a shadow.
Good to talk to you. So you're in Ohio as we speak?
No, I'm just back from Ohio. I've been bouncing around. I've been in Colorado. I've been in Nevada. Most recently, we were in Ohio driving people to the polls, to early voting, getting them over to the Bureau of Elections, and kind of speaking wherever we could to get people motivated.
Jesse, how's it feeling? Because obviously the numbers coming back, you know, obviously it seems like overwhelmingly Democrats are early voting. It seems like a good sign for the president, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel better about it than I'm really even comfortable saying. But I do think that I'm seeing that we do need to get folks out to vote. And I'm been surprised at the amount of young people that are kind of towing this line of apathy and kind of indifference. And, oh, well, maybe it doesn't concern me. And people really need to kind of really appreciate. I think some people, including my the younger generation of folks who are don't really necessarily appreciate how special it is to be able to have your right to vote and to be able to make your vote count. I mean, we remember 2000, that came down to 537 votes in Florida.
Right.
So the popular vote does matter. Having a referendum, taking a stand and showing how many of us stood up for yourself and whatever issue it is, it makes a big, big difference. So I certainly am running around as much as I can to encourage people to vote early. Just make sure you vote. Make sure you count it, or else you really have nothing to complain about.
What do you think? Because that's one of those media storylines, like, oh, the kids aren't going to come out and vote like they did in 2008. What's your sense from being on the campaign trail so much?
I think around college campuses, around kind of different, there's different groups, whether it's in school and in urban areas, that I think certainly are getting out to vote. We're getting really incredible numbers of volunteers around the country, particularly for the president. But I do think that in lower-income communities, I think people do feel a little beaten down, particularly in battleground states. They're getting bombarded with advertising, right, and the robocalls and everything. And I think that sometimes, I think I am sensing, especially when I was in Ohio, running around Trumbull County, Warren, Ohio, Cleveland, I got the sense, because me and Russell Simmons, actually, we got a bunch of vans, and we drove around to strip malls and shopping centers and just walked in and said, who's registered to vote? Right? And if they kind of, some people volunteered and said, yes, they were. Some people kind of hemmed and hawed, and we say, well, if you are, let's prove it. Get in the van, and let's go vote right now. Board of Elections is open at 7 p.m. So we kind of called people on it and had to and I bring that up because I did feel like we had to push them.
Right.
They were kind of, their responses were kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get around to it. They asked them to do some chores or something.
Well, that's
great. And I think that.
Yeah, that's why it's great that you're out there, though, because you're right. You know, I mean, that's human nature, right? I think you sometimes people, even that are well-intentioned, you know, go, oh, you know, something came up. I think that these lines for early voting are really encouraging, though, aren't they? I mean, I'm seeing like 4 hours in some places in Florida for people lining up to wait to early vote.
Yeah, Florida's incredible. It's really incredible, and especially how mindful they're being of shutting down Sunday voting, particular counties of Florida. People are making sure to line up beforehand. There was a big problem, I think, in Florida yesterday because people came out because they found a way to vote. You can bring your absentee vote in person, and they had a 4-hour window, but that they were also turned away after a while, and then due to people kind of protesting outside, they opened it back up.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this voter suppression stuff, you know, Jesse, that you've heard about in not just Florida but Ohio, just from my anecdotal evidence and callers, I feel like it's motivating people to vote more because people don't like
the idea
of losing their right to vote.
It's absolutely getting the opposite effect, I think, than their intention. People realize, you know, you want your right to vote, people try to take them away from you. And when somebody's trying to obstruct you from voting, or, you know, when somebody's lying to you, there's a reason they're lying, because the truth isn't good enough. If they're trying to stop you from voting, there's a reason they're trying to stop you from voting, because they're scared of what you're going to do with that vote. So, I think, as I've been saying to people, and no matter what your excuse is, no matter what the reason is that you're not voting, you're fulfilling somebody else's plan by not voting. So use it or you lose it. It's literally the least that you can do. If we're hearing a lot of, oh, well, I don't know where, I don't know how, you very simply go to vote.barackobama.com, and the answers are there. What the early voting rules are, what states have different regulations for how long the Board of Elections are open, et cetera. These are with the information that you can find out anything you want at any time, essentially.
Jesse,
so go on.
Say that one more time. Say that one more time. Go to barackobama.com.
Vote.barackobama.com has all the answers you need for how – for when and where you can vote, where you specifically can vote in your area, whether there's early voting hours, what those hours are, where they're located, if they've changed.
Awesome. And we have a link.
A lot of people are getting.
And we have a link up, Jesse, on StephanieMiller.com. So if you're listening right now and you missed that, it's Stephanie. Go to StephanieMiller.com. There's a link to all of that. And Jesse, thanks so much for the report and for all the great work you're doing out there.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for your time. I listen to your show as often as I can. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, you awesome. Obviously have exquisite taste. All right, Jesse. Thanks so much. Talk to you again
thanks,
real soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Wow. Very cool.
Wow. We had Kate Walsh last week. All the hotties from Grey's Anatomy, right? Yay. All right. The president, speaking of the campaign trail this weekend.
I know what real change looks like. It's because I fought for it. Because I delivered it. We can't give up on it now.
He and Bill Clinton are just about out of voice.
Yeah. they only have to crawl to the finish line tomorrow. That's
yes.
it.
Yes. And meanwhile, Mitt Romney is helping small children freeze to death.
Oh. Keeping them in voter internment camps.
Romney stepper.
Basically. What?
Romney stepper on letting frostbitten child leave Pennsylvania rally. It's not cold enough for that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's that compassionate conservatism we've heard so much about. Mitt Romney drew an estimated crowd of about 25,000 to a victory rally. No.
Yeah.
Computer says no.
No. In Pennsylvania, but a delay caused him to show up 90 minutes late to the event. Reporters at the event tweeted various accounts of very cold attendees trying to leave, but being prevented from doing so by volunteers, Secret Service, and campaign staff. One mother begged to get her frostbitten daughter out. The New York Times reporter said he told staffers, it's not cold enough for that.
Wow.
Let me see the cup. They aren't blue yet. Get her back in there. There's people tweeting. People are literally sneaking out the gates now because they're told they can't leave.
You'll stay here until you turn red, not
and
blue.
And then finally, people are literally streaming through the gates. Romney's still speaking. Wow.
Let me out. God, let me out.
Voter internment camps. I'm telling you.
Romney macht frei.
Well.
What, too soon?
Man. Yeah, too soon.
Yes.
Thanks.
Jim. Okay. Romney, I love this piece, The Myth of Bipartisanship. We were saying this is his, really bad timing with Chris Christie and the president, his whole, I'm the only bipartisan. He said, I'm going to reach across the aisle and meet with good Democrats who love America.
Sure.
There are good Democrats like that. Oh, he had to point that out, that most of them aren't, but he'll find the ones that are. Yeah.
Like Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's not Democratic.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, he's the Republican has been breezily assuring voters he knows how to work with the Democrats because he did as governor of Massachusetts. No.
Well.
Romney's record in Boston wasn't really 4 years of genial comity. It was more like 3 years of gridlock. The legislature overrode more than 700 Romney vetoes, interrupted by one brilliant piece of bipartisan legislation, which Ted Kennedy helped them pass.
Yeah.
Health care.
How about that?
Romney's professions of bipartisanship also collide.
Shock on that, Willard.
He has made... to his own supporters, promises he could scarcely abandon, even if he wanted to. Oh, yes, the magical promise of bipartisanship.
Right.
Not
so much.
I love this headline. Matt Romney goes to Russia, secretly sends a message to Putin to ignore his dad's campaign rhetoric.
Yeah.
Dad's a douche. Don't.
Don't.
Just
don't.
He's a doofus.
Scott Evil went to Russia. This week, Mitt Romney's son traveled to Moscow for business.
A whole bag of shish with your name on it.
Reports say allayed any concerns the Russian government had about his father's harsh stance on Russia. Mitt Romney, as you know, has said to Russia, our number one geopolitical foe, geopolitical adversary.
Sorry, my dad's a douche. We have known this for some time.
Yeah, but Matt has business in Russia, so. From what I understand.
Well. While in Moscow, Mr. Romney told a Russian known to be able to deliver messages to Mr. Putin that despite campaign rhetoric, his father wants good relations if he becomes president. My dad's a liar, okay? Everyone in America knows it. I'm just.
God. Oh. My dad's a jerk. He can't even have good relations with England.
No.
Let alone Russia.
All right. Joyce in Shreveport, Louisiana. Hi, Joyce.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling because I'm an elected official in Caddo Parish and Shreveport, and I have at least 30,000 voters in my district. I want to know why the media is saying that 49% tie. between Romney and Obama, and nobody's been told. Everybody I've talked to said nobody's ever called them.
I know. Where do they get these doggone numbers from? Well, I know. That's the thing is, I think, you know, when Jackie says, I think at this point you can't look at polls. You just got to get out and vote because,
right.
I mean, it's you know.
And don't worry that the voting machines are run by Republicans. It'll be fine.
45 minutes after the...
You still need to get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
You still need to get out and vote.
Just please don't listen to Jim Ward. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
We know what change looks like. And what he's selling, ain't it?
All right, yeah, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, you know, speaking of Obama surrogates,
yeah.
I mean, you don't often use the word legendary, but you do when you say good morning, Blythe Danner. Hi, Blythe Danner.
Oh, hi. That's very nice to hear. It's so early. Well, I'm out in California right now, so it's early for me.
Yeah.
How are you doing there?
I'm good. I spoke to you on a red carpet once somewhere, and then I spoke to your daughter, Gwyneth Paltrow, and I said, oh, my God, you'll never guess who I just interviewed. Blythe Danner. Don't you love her? And,
no.
She went along with the joke.
Well, I'm very happy. My claim to fame is being Gwyneth's mom, which is just fine with me.
And much more. How are things out on the campaign trail, and why are you so motivated this time around?
Yeah, I've been so excited. I mean, down in Florida, I said I like it better than acting. But connecting with people, you know, listening to what they have to say about how they are really to be, you know, the kids have been working so hard. I can't get over it. All the kids in the, you know, the field offices, and they're so smart, and they just got, they were such a big help to me. I think first as a woman, and then as a mom and a grandmother, I can't imagine how anybody could not vote for our president. You know, when you think of what he has done, how many he's accomplished, and I said, and I was out there, how he just doesn't blow his own horn enough, so
right.
We have to do it for him. But that the fact that the first early sign when he came in, that Lily Ledbetter, and to have that great lady talking at the convention and on the trails, the Fair Pay Act, and to help women fight back against discrimination is just extraordinary, you know, and all of the fact that 32 straight months of job growth that we've had under President Obama, and yes, when you enter with a tsunami as he did, people keep saying, no, you can't talk about past. Well, you can when there's been an avalanche that you've come into. You know, he didn't know what, I don't think he could possibly know what hit him until he was there, when they complain about him and say, no, I'm going to get jobs down to 5%. Well, he just didn't know what there was there.
Right.
And he's been so... Nobody could really know the extent of that, you know? And when Obamacare, he helped 5.6 million seniors and people with disabilities that can better afford prescription drugs. 17 million kids, I didn't even realize this until the other day, 17 million kids with pre-existing conditions will no longer be denied coverage.
Right.
I mean, this on the women health choices are, you know, what he's for choice and for women's health choices are best made with their doctor without interference from employees and old men.
Right.
That's something I've never been able to understand, how there's so many old men who want to determine what happens to a women's bodies. It just is an anathema to me.
Yes, as Tina Fey calls them, gray-faced men with $2 haircuts.
Yes.
Blythe, what you use?
You know, I'm right here on the ocean. I'm going in and out. All I have is my cell phone. So, what did Tina Fey say?
She just called them gray-faced men with $2 haircuts, telling women what they can do with their bodies. But
yes, exactly. But it's so exciting. I just love the fact that there really has not been,
less of a turnout. When you see the lines right now in Ohio and in Florida, and people getting out there on Sunday, it's just extraordinary. And they're not going to go home. They're going to stay there till the very end. It's very, very heartening.
Blood, what is your sense in Florida? It's obviously very, very close there. But, you know, I share your view that I don't understand how particularly seniors could consider voting for Mitt Romney and for, you know, a running mate who would literally voucherize Medicare.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is that these ads that we're all bombarded with, and they are in Florida. When I was down there, this huge billboard, the Koch brothers or somebody must have paid for the flashing lights and saying three words, abortion, gay marriage, Obama, and that's all that flashed up on that billboard. And then the ads are so untruthful and misleading. It's just you just hope and pray that people really, you know, delve deeper and get online and read the facts. Go on the Obama website. And
because, you know, unfortunately, Blythe, I mean, Mitt Romney has shown no compunction about putting out, you know, ads that are completely factually incorrect, are fact-checked as such, and he doubles down and runs it anyway. You know, whether it's that car companies have to say this ad is a complete lie, I mean, he doesn't care right at this point.
No, and they haven't withdrawn them, have they? They just keep bombarding them. Well, you know, we just have to hope that the Americans, I mean, we do tend to be sometimes a little bit listening to the last thing we heard. That happens a lot of times, the people who aren't really interested in the facts. And I think it's very hard to, when you've got people on both sides, it's hard to really have discussions among ourselves. And I think, you know, Obama has tried to reach across the aisle and tried to reach out to the other side, and I really think we're going to see that in this. I know that he's going to be reelected. I know in my heart he will be. And I think at that point, the other side's going to say, well, the American people are so angry with us for having not accomplished, allowing him to accomplish very much, because, you know, that I think they will absolutely be compelled to do that in this next term.
Yep. Blythe, you know, the future of the Republic, of course, is on the line tomorrow. But the most important question, will there be a new Meet the Parents?
No. No, I don't know whether there will be. We've had three already. That seems to be the magic number.
Meet the parents again.
All right. Well, darn the luck. Blythe, thank you so much for taking time for us on such an important week. And thanks for doing all that great work on the campaign trail.
Oh, well, I'm just thrilled to be a part of it all. Everybody, get out and vote. I know that they are today, and I'm thrilled that you're there. You're such a great supporter, so thank you.
Thank you. And you heard it. Blythe Danner said do it, for God's sakes. All right, thank you so much, Blythe. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There she goes, the woman, the myth, the legend.
Barack Obama is responsible for 110% of all the gay abortions in America.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm voting for Romney.
Yeah, you know, you have to, like, feel their pain in the swing states. We don't get that in California.
No.
Literally, they are just bombarded, like, day and night. All right, real quick, let's go to Bob in Washington. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes, real quick, honey. Sorry, 20 seconds.
I have daughters, granddaughters, great-granddaughters, and I cannot understand how any man can vote for somebody that will not support the Lilly Ledbetter Act and that wants to get involved in women's reproductive rights.
Yep.
I feel like Jeff Foxworthy. I live in a sea of estrogen. I have grandson.
All right. You heard the man. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with sexy liberal Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Which is brought to you in part by our friend Bert Levy, author of The Last Open Road and other novels, who asks, have you traveled the last open road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
Thank you. All right. In my peripheral vision,
what?
It can almost melt my retina. The sexy liberal stream. Hal Sparks is here.
Hi.
Bless you. Sexy liberal,
yes.
Hal Sparks.
Chris sneezes right on cue.
Yeah, okay. He wasn't here Wednesday because he's on the East Coast still because he went there to do Sexy Liberal, which he blew the roof off the beacon, right. But not that way, just in a comedic way.
Yeah. Arguably, I spent the next few days putting it back on.
Right.
Right. You were kind of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles in it.
Totally.
I was watching your Twitter feed.
Yeah. It was nuts.
Thank God I put GPS in your underwear. It's a sexy liberal. I was like, oh, there's Hal.
Well, we ended up, you know, they were talking about, obviously, the airports being shut down.
Right.
And they were talking about Wednesday they would open them up, and that didn't happen. So we ended up driving to Philly to get where planes had been coming out of, and then having to fly a separate flight. You can't just like check your bags all the way through, fly to Chicago, get off the plane, flight from there if and when there
take
will be a
J
plane.
Bus.
Oh boy.
And
yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
It was amazing.
Anyway, he's back.
Yay.
How are you?
And what a fabulous show at the Beacon. What sexy liberals, all of us on stage together with Rob Reiner, et cetera. It was. All right, and speaking of awesome things from Illinois, by the way, from...
Besides me.
Right.
High school in Chicago, so there you go.
Tammy Duckworth, she's up at least 10 right
over
that.
Wow, that's great.
That's a shocker.
Weed. Joe Walsh. Jennifer Granholm retweets, they didn't bury me in Iraq, and they damn well are not going to bury me now on the negative campaign ads. Joe Walsh is running against her. I love her!
She's kind of amazing in that she... Her level of just... kind of comfort and steadiness during some of those debates, because the crackpot nonsense that comes out of Joe Walsh's head, regardless, in his own just speaking is one thing. But then when he gets into, it's like he and Scott Brown, it was as if they were dosed with extra dumb.
Thank you.
Going into their debates.
I was doing a story about how well Elizabeth Warren is doing. Yeah.
Right.
The year of the woman.
Yep.
Woo!
Yeah. That's the problem. You know, Rush Limbaugh says, you know, things started going to hell right when women started voting.
Yes.
I'm kidding, of course, because I just realized I said that out loud.
Julian Seattle says, hey, Mama, sounds like Elizabeth Warren, who the talking turtle, Mitch McConnell, declared would never get a vote as a presidential appointee.
Never got a vote.
By the way, she says, Neener McChimless, I hope Harry Reid put Senator Warren's office as close as possible to McConnell's.
I will not share my lettuce with him.
Although they were on 60 Minutes together last night.
Yeah, they wouldn't look at each other.
They would not look at each other.
Not looking at
you. Oh, that's
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were sitting next to each other, but
Harry
they would not look at each
and
other.
Mitch McConnell were still, it was tense.
Yeah.
Yes.
They literally did not look at each other once.
My friend over here is a dillweed.
Right.
Julie says she'll soon make him.
I'm not a dillweed. That's a piece of lettuce.
She says she'll soon make him wish he had let her run the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Ooh.
Damn it! She'll replace one of Wall Street's favorite paid stooges. Scott Crown gets a paid stooge status, in my opinion, for making distasteful racist fuss about Warren's ethnic heritage and for hiring homeless black people to parade around an Obama voter for brown T-shirts in black neighborhoods for $8 an hour. It appears Ms. Warren has the makings of a real political star. In addition to her great progressive cred and principles, she raised $40 million, a record for a Massachusetts Senate race. I hope she beats the pink leather hot pants off that nasty senator fold. Me too! And it looks like she's on track to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's at this point, it's all about turnout.
Yep.
At this point, because we need almost an overwhelming, we need a point and a half spread to cover voter suppression.
Yeah.
That's essentially it.
Yeah.
So if you think you're even in a district where Obama's safe, there's a clear victory for even the people you support, maybe you'll get out because there's provisional things on the ballot that you want to, you know, that you're for, depending on your state. But the main thing is that we need that 1.5 just to cover the amount of people who are going to be disenfranchised this time to pad that we'll get the electoral. That seems to be clear.
Yeah, it's like clockwork, Hal. You can obviously Obama ahead in Ohio. People aren't stupid there. They know what happened with the auto rescue. They're not believing these ads. So the headline this morning is a last minute Ohio directive could trash legal votes and swing the election. Ohio Secretary of State John Husted.
Yeah, who will go down, I believe, in American history, right up there with like a stack of racist icons, like the guys who stood on the steps when they were bringing the students, black students, to school in Alabama for the first time. He's right there with them.
Yeah.
That's what his deal is.
He issued a directive Friday that lays out requirements for submitting a provisional ballot. The directive includes a form which puts the burden on the voter to correctly record the form of ID provided to election officials, just looking for whatever hoop they can find. He also instructed election officials, if the form is not filled out correctly by the voter, the ballot should not be counted. According to a lawsuit filed by voting rights advocates, this is contrary to a court decision
right.
a week ago.
Yeah.
It's also contrary to Ohio law. The last-minute directive changes this, switches the burden to the voter, blah, blah, blah. The court gave Huston until today to respond to the lawsuit.
And
he's tried to reduce early voting hour. I mean, whatever they can do.
Well, and it's targeted. See, the other thing you have to know is, as much as I do believe genuinely that he and Rick Scott are racists, I have no problem saying that. I will also say that they are also classist on an equal level, that mm-hmm. they believe in white trash. So they will yeah. also, amongst themselves, go, okay, yeah, there's white people that are above everybody else, but there's a certain section of white yeah. people that should be protected. So if you look at the areas in Ohio, in Florida, that have plenty of voting machines, short lines, easy systems for voting.
Yeah.
They're all heavily in that direction. And if they go any other way.
Eric Bowler tweeted, there's
yeah,
something wrong
shut the machine
when
down.
It takes 4 hours to vote in Florida, the same day it takes, you know, 2 hours to get gas
in
New Jersey.
Right.
I mean, what's going on?
Right, right. I mean, because there is a superstorm of voter suppression going on. There is a confluence of different,
you
thank you,
yeah.
Of putting, you know, intentionally, it's chess moves. They are literally putting barriers in three different directions, hoping they can squeeze that. And then you look all over the news, people are tweeting pictures,
right.
and people are going down the block. And I think
yeah.
I
what
heard,
happened to that enthusiasm gap
yes,
story,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. And I heard yeah. this, like, when I was driving in, I heard you mention that you think that, you know, with Eric Bowler, that people, I think, are more enthused to vote when they are denied that
yeah.
right. It's almost like they are voting for the right to vote at this point, because,
yeah.
man, if your Secretary of State is becoming one of the most important people in the administration and of your particular state, and so governor gets even more important than it ever has been.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people shrug off even that.
Yep.
But this is gross. I mean, Husted is, he's a
yep.
punk. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
The latest, Obama's approval rises. This is actually significant in terms of polling.
Yep.
He's seen a boost in his job approval ratings in the past week, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
As Mitt Romney's favorability has hit a rough patch, this is the PPP polling. Obama's job approval has made a net gain of 6 percentage points. Romney's favorability has dropped by a net 7 points in the same period, in the
mm-hmm.
same, like,
yeah.
just week. Obama's, even in Rasmussen, has showed a 5-point net boost since the Monday poll. The most recent poll on Saturday showed a 77% positive approval rating
right.
of the president's performance in the hurricane. And I think Chris Christie was the October surprise, I think.
Well, I think the storm certainly was. There was a, you know, somebody came, and I think it was Haley Barbour and a couple of other people have been on Fox News and other places saying that, you know, the storm was the October surprise and it stopped the momentum. It wasn't the storm that stopped his momentum. It was the fact that people saw what real governing actually looks like when
right.
all
it
the
ruined polit- his whole closing argument
yeah.
about bipartisanship.
But,
it's like someone Perry Mason's in his final
yeah.
and
yeah, it's absurd. They were hoping to skate in on Benghazi, which is
right.
a farce,
and yeah.
And that was going to be enough for them. And he was still, I mean, still no taxes, still no specifics to his plan, still
right.
nobody knows what elements of the tax code he's going to modify or cut. Hasn't said any of that stuff. They were hoping to diverge you know, the voters from, mm-hmm. I hate Barack Obama enough and I'm dissatisfied for whatever reason, enough to not vote or vote for
right.
Romney this time around, which I just don't see happening.
I'm going to create 12 billion jobs.
Right.
When I say billion, I meant trillion.
Yeah. It's just O's, you know, to me. I mean, when you got 250 million in the bank, one O here or there, it's a shock. But it's not a big deal.
$250 million in the bank that we know of.
Right. Well,
yeah.
that's the thing.
Yeah.
Let's be real clear. After the election, we're going to find out he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah.
That's what Harry Reid is
oh,
talking about.
Oh, if those
about.
Tax reports ever come out.
Oh,
oh
man.
Boy.
Well, that's the thing. WikiLeaks. Anonymous. I am
yes.
calling you.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you guys right. seem to, they have no problem finding, like, the home address to some cop who laid a beat down on some skateboarder and posting
right.
that. But Mitt Romney wants to run the free world, and he's got 20 years of taxes that are in McCain's office, probably under a you
yeah.
know a half-eaten piece of fudge or a, you know a donut and a half-empty coffee mug. Where are those tax returns here?
McCain weren't so bitter about having lost to Obama. He
yeah, right.
was,
who stole them?
All right.
They're in the bathroom, all rolled up.
Who moved my cheese?
Right.
The president's wingman, Bill Clinton, on the campaign trail this
he's
weekend.
He's tied himself in so many knots, trying to say he didn't oppose what he clearly opposed. That I expect any day he'll be offered a job as a chief contortionist at Cirque du Soleil.
He said yesterday, he said, I have given my voice in the service of my president. I mean, he's literally, he is.
And by that person, he means, of course, Hillary when she runs in 2016.
Yeah.
I mean, to some degree. I mean, I think there is some validity to that. If she decided to go, this certainly doesn't hurt. That push.
Yeah.
And
although it looks like an authentic romance at this point.
Oh, no question. I mean, he knows, believe me.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton knows all these guys. He knows Mitt Romney. He's sat across the table with him, for governor's issues and those kind of things at some point.
Yeah.
Like, he knows exactly who this guy is. So he's not a fan. That's quite, but
did
how
you see
much
when
he's
they
doing
played, when they hit the Don't Stop, when they hit the Fleetwood Mac, it was just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting. he also did a great story about the, Romney's lying ad about Chrysler.
Right.
He said, when I was young, I got my hand caught in the cookie jar, my face reddened, and I took my hand out of the cookie jar. Governor Romney, he's just digging for more cookies.
Right. He's digging for more cookies.
I love the big dog.
Well, in Kasich, the governor of Ohio, captain of the good ship Husted that is trying to run aground, he actually had to go on the news, and they, and he got confronted with the Jeep question, and he said, "No, actually, Chrysler's the company that has added jobs, in our state."
Yeah. Well, Kasich's done quite a dance. It's all because of me.
Well, that's
nothing
the thing.
To do with the president of the auto rescue. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But every time Mitt Romney says it's not working, or that, or in his case, that people in Ohio are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
He's like, wait a second. It totally's working. Shut up, dude.
All right.
You're not helping me, man.
I've got to run too, at some point. That's what that is.
Yeah.
I think like Chris Christie is going to throw him under the 2016 bus, right?
Yeah. I'm not concerned, nor am I the least bit interested.
I'm not the least bit interested. That guy's an idiot. Oh, did
minutes.
I say that out loud?
18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More with Al Sparks, sexy liberal, on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
23 minutes after the hour. David Plouffe, senior White House advisor.
We're in, a commanding position, but our big challenge now is to make sure we execute and make sure that we get our vote out.
Yes, vote.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal Hal Sparks commands you.
Execution.
Are you feeling happy clappy, my happy clappy friend?
Yeah, absolutely I am. I mean, I think the road to the Electoral College win is very strong. There will be some nail-biting moments, I have no doubt, over the process. And there are certainly in Florida and Ohio, which at some point, it's kind of like, America's closet that needs cleaning out. At a certain point, we have to go, let's strip everything out of there and put it back in order. Because there's been so much voter shenanigans in those particular states, and they are always crucial.
Yeah.
And yet
right.
we never do anything to solve it overall. I think, and I know it will be difficult, but I think there should be a federal, voter registration and voter, ability that is static for all the states. And then if states want to have a little, paper ballots are hanging chads for their own local races, knock yourself out.
I said this a long time ago. There should not be partisans in charge on either side. I mean, because everybody should feel like there is vote, there's vote integrity.
Right.
Von Ciel in Asheville, North Carolina. Was it sexy liberal in New York City with us? Hi, Von Ciel.
Good morning. You know how I've always said how great you are for America?
Yes.
And what an amazing influence you have been in my life.
Yes.
Well, I've been on the phone for so long on hold that I cleaned up my entire house, did two loads of laundry, watered the dog, fed the cat, brushed my horse.
See?
But it was totally worth it.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
Yeah, no, she's showing me pictures. She sends me pictures of her horse. I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's no doubt.
Anyway, I called to say that Saturday I got off my butt and went and canvassed a neighborhood with a partner, and we had 34 houses or 34 names, not quite 34 houses. We picked up somebody who did not know where to vote but intended to vote for the president, and we also found someone who needed a ride to the polls. So now that's in Buncombe County here in North Carolina, but I bet in every precinct, they're looking for folks. From what I understand, the Obama folks are going to work up until Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Yep. So please, if you've got a moment, go down to your local Obama headquarters and offer to make phone calls. I don't know if they're still doing door-to-door canvassing. We did love, it was very great to find a bunch of people who had already early voted.
Good.
But get out there. It's
you heard, Von Ciel, your horse can wait for brushing for another day. Our democracy is at stake.
I totally abandoned him on Saturday. And he's quite all right for it.
Yes.
All right.
Because, you know, his name is Senator, so he's very interesting.
Oh, so he's got a 6-year term. He can set this one out.
Yeah, you're a big
there
geek.
You go. So
you're,
please,
you're
folks,
geek.
Get out there.
All right. Love you, honey.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
The president on the campaign trail yesterday.
Don't boo, vote. Vote. Voting's the best revenge.
Wait till you hear what Mitt Romney did with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he asked his supporters to vote for revenge.
Revenge. I'll be on the fainting couch.
Instead, I asked the American people to vote for love of country.
They tried to make a thing.
And that country.
I think I'm going to vote.
Splat.
And that country is, of course, Switzerland.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. I have a lot of money there. A lot of it. A lot of it. That's why I'm not releasing my tax returns, because you would see how much money I have parked in Switzerland, and you would know how much I love Switzerland for not asking questions about my money. Yeah, so, no, vote
for
love of country.
They're not as chatty as the Cayman Islands.
Go to jail for asking questions about somebody's banking.
We were talking about Eddie the Invisible Budget Monster, who apparently he has been disappeared to somewhere.
He's campaigning in places like Johnstown, Colorado, and
serving potatoes and gravy at a Cracker Barrel.
They sent him to
Broken Elbow, Montana.
They sent him to campaign in Alabama. Why would the Republicans need to send the vice presidential candidate to Alabama?
Right.
I remember when they first picked him, they were don't talk about your budget and Medicare. Just talk about your love of the outdoors. So that he literally in the beginning was reduced to, I like air.
Oh, he's got to be
good.
He's got to be losing it right now. Because
how much is Mitt Romney cursing that he didn't pick Chris Christie? You saw the Politico story, right?
Oh, yeah.
So first of all, he's losing Wisconsin. He thought the budget monster would at least...
Yep.
And now Hurricane Sandy, and Chris Christie is Obama's top surrogate, essentially.
Yeah.
Politico reported Saturday Chris Christie was all Romney's advisors' first choice for vice president.
Uh-huh.
He overruled them and chose the budget monster. Romney was so close to picking Christie, some top advisors at the campaign's headquarters believed the governor had been offered the job. They made tentative plans to announce the pick just before Romney headed off for his disastrous overseas trip.
Mm-hmm.
Romney held off, though, making the final decision until he returned, leaving Christie hanging. Until the official announcement of Ryan as the pick, the Politico report said the choice left some bitterness in the Christie camp.
On the plus side, we don't have to work out pictures of Chris Christie.
No, thank God.
Right. The other thing, too, is there were reports at the time that Chris Christie had done an event with Romney, had shown up late, and Romney had to open for his own opener. Yeah. And so that might have been the moment that he decided against Chris Christie, because it was an ego thing. I think there's a telegenic aspect, because I think, to some degree, I think Mitt Romney wanted a telegenic pairing, and he thought Paul Ryan's a young, like, cute guy. It was a Sarah Palin choice on a certain level.
Yeah,
because they certainly want to ignore all of his legislation. They're certainly not interested in anything he actually did in Congress at this point.
Yeah.
And
speaking of Congress, Jim Graves, who's going to beat Michelle Bachmann tomorrow.
Yes.
Next. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Soundly.
Stephanie Miller.
That girl is freaky.
Come again?
Freaky.
Freaky?
Yeah, freaky.
Yep. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Why, look at what the fine Americans at the Star Tribune in Minneapolis wrote, y'all.
Hmm.
It's easy to see why Republican Representative Michelle Bachmann dragged her feet on debating Democratic challenger Jim Graves. At a time when the economy tops voters' concerns, Graves actually is a job creator whose hotel and hospitality business has about 700 employees. Bachmann, who didn't respond to the Star Tribune editorial board's invitation for an endorsement interview, should be running scared. Bachmann has little to show for her 6 years in Congress besides empty rhetoric and self promoting TV appearances in a presidential bid that quickly ran out of steam when her extreme positions became too much for her own party to stomach.
Wow.
Don't they have exquisite taste? Good morning, Jim Graves.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hear your race has really tightened.
It's we're neck and neck going into the last, I guess, 24 hours almost, so to speak. We had Bill Clinton in last night, stumping for us. We had a great evening, and we're doing our best, getting the message out, and we think we're going to win this thing.
That's what I'm told, and that is incredible when you think of, you know, the money, the name recognition she's had. And I think that, you know, the Star Tribune, I think, has called it that the people of Minnesota may actually finally realize she has name recognition because she's out for herself, not for the 6th District, right? She's out to be on TV.
Stephanie, I've been saying all along she's great at creating headlines, but she can't create a single job. She just doesn't know how to get the job done.
Well, you know, they also write, they said her positions and her self-promotion have alienated colleagues on both sides of the aisle. In 2010, the Republican leadership denied her a key leadership position. I mean, I think that's a key thing to talk about, isn't it? If you want to get something done in Congress for the 6th District in Minnesota, it's not with her, right?
No, Stephanie, you know, the interesting thing about it is Michelle Bachmann is the most prolific fundraiser in the business. I mean, she's raised more money to attack me. I think it's over $22 million right now and going up. And yet she doesn't even get any kind of a nod from her own party when she gets back to Congress. So she definitely is on the outside of both. She's out for herself, and it's quite clear, and I think the people on both sides of the aisle can sense that it's time for her to move on.
Well, she's been denounced by John Boehner, by John McCain, with this ridiculous, you know, Muslim Brotherhood infiltration of the State Department nonsense. I mean, but I think the important thing, you know, for our listeners and for your constituents is that this lack of respect undercuts her ability to pass bills, right? I mean, she just...
That's it, Stephanie. You know, I'll give her, let's just give her credit. Let's say that she really wanted to balance a budget, reduce the deficit, and create jobs. Let's just say she won it, and she was earnest about that. She can't get it done anyway because she can't build relationships. She doesn't know how to get people together. She can't, you know, she draws lines in the sand. She calls the president, the standing president, a fraud. She questions the president's patriotism. She questions Ms. Abedin's patriotism. She creates a lot of fear, distrust, polarization. That isn't the way you move this country forward, and I think the people know that.
Well, and Jim, we've talked about this before, but I mean, it looks like, you know, whether it's Michelle Bachmann or Joe Walsh or Steve King, I mean, I think a lot of this Tea Party extremism is fallen by the wayside. I mean, and the Star Tribune makes a perfect point about that. They say Bachmann's extreme opposition to raising taxes and the debt ceiling also undermine her fiscal responsibility claims. Her absolutism runs counter to every credible debt reduction plan, including Simpson Bowles. She is a roadblock to the grand bargain sorely needed, which is coming up, and this fiscal cliff, right?
She would rather have our country go off a fiscal cliff because she's pledged to Grover Norquist and some Koch brothers that she'll never raise taxes. And at the end of the day, you can't abdicate your ability to govern if you're going to Congress. You have to be open to negotiations and compromise, and we need a macro-balanced approach. We all know, everybody knows that. She's on the wrong side of history on this whole thing.
Well, you know, I think they closed perfectly in the Star Tribune editorial. They say Bachmann could have used her considerable charisma to become one of the state's most effective representatives. Instead, she's used it to serve herself, not her constituents. And I think they saw that during this presidential run, right?
Yeah, you know, when she got out of the district and she was running for president, people really got a glimpse of what Michelle Bachmann's all about. And at the end of the day, it's a pretty shallow position she has. I don't know if she really grasps what's going on. I think it's all about her promoting her self-interest and not the people's of this country or the district. And I think there's no question about it, Stephanie. People can sense it. And we hopefully there's enough good, honest people out there on both sides of the aisle that will vote for us on tomorrow, and we can get this country moving forward and get those kind of people out of the way. And notwithstanding, Stephanie, she would like to take the women's issues back 50 years. I mean, women don't want to go back into the shell. They don't want to go into a male-dominant society. They want to have equal pay for equal work, and they should. They want to have access to health care. They want to have access to good jobs. And this is what we're all about, and she wants to move women back, too, and that's really bothers me.
Yeah, it is. It's very sad. Jim, I think that, honestly, like, I've been going to Minneapolis, as you know, my great station there for many, many years, and I tell you, there's so much excitement about you, and I think people really know this is the time. They're finally going to... She's an embarrassment. I mean, not just to Minnesota, I think to the United States Congress, and I believe it in my gut. This is your time. The last I saw, you were, like, a couple of points apart. I mean, this really, people got to get out tomorrow and vote, correct?
You know, Stephanie, I know you got limited time. I was just at a Panera in St. Cloud on Main Street here having coffee this morning with my wife, and I had three or four Republicans come up and say, Jim, we've never voted for a Democrat, but we're voting for you because you have the right direction this country needs to go. You have a concept. You have a vision, and we're sick and tired of Michelle Bachmann. And these were Republicans, so...
Well,
there's
Jim,
hope out there.
The way, and this is, again, you know, what I know from my friends in Minnesota is the way you've done business is the complete antithesis of Mitt Romney. You didn't take over companies and destroy them and outsource jobs. You actually are very well, you know, well-known and well-respected among business leaders of every, you know, partisan stripe, as you just said, in Minnesota.
Well, you're right, Stephanie. I've done it on the Main Street. He was a corporate raider on Wall Street, a totally different kind of approach. He doesn't understand the small businesses and what people are doing on Main Street and up and down the corridor. He's more of a Wall Street fella that's looking for carried interest, preference treatment on his taxes and everything else. I've worked with the people on the ground and try to create good jobs, work with labor, work with families, try to make this country a better place and our district a better place to live.
And Jim, you're one of the actual job creators he talks about so much. And yeah. If he wanted to help you, he would encourage people to vote for Jim Graves in Minnesota's 6th district. You heard me. Mitt Romney would like you to vote for Jim Graves.
Right. That would be a change, would it?
Yeah, it would.
Jim, good luck tomorrow. We'll all be rooting
Thanks,
for
Stephanie.
You.
You guys, I really appreciate it all the time. It's been fun talking to you, and I hope to talk to you after the election.
All
you
right.
Got it.
You too, sir. Thank you. There he goes, Jim Graves. Woo-hoo!
Woot. Woot.
Renee in the swingiest of swing states of Florida. Hello, Renee.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Renee. Go ahead. You're on with Hal Sparks and Company.
Hi. Yes, I had a comment that I wanted to make about Mitt Romney's rally on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
First, he discussed that he, towards the end of his rally, that he was at the Boy Scout meeting and one of the flags was on the Challenger, and the Challenger apparently blew up and the flag was saved, which was a lie. So I don't know if he's trying to do like a quick pick me type thing. And then also yesterday he mentioned at one of his rallies the same story about the flag, and then also that his sister, which we never knew about, apparently had 8 kids, and 7 of the kids are married, but 1 is Down syndrome. So it's just like a last-minute ditch effort for him to get votes or anything.
Mm. I see, to try and humanize him. It seems like if that's an actual thing they're talking about, it means that he's lacking some sort of human
humanity.
Quality.
Let's keep in mind, his continuing act of humanizing himself or making himself seem presidential or have leadership skills always end in him discussing the leadership skills of someone else that he heard.
Yeah.
Like that stupid remark he made about cleaning your lane on the football field.
Right.
Remember that nonsense?
Yeah. Yes.
We're just cleaning our lane. Okay, that would have been a good story to tell on some level. If you had been the one to come up with that idea,
right.
If you were like, if
and who uses the term paper products?
Paper products, and
it's like removing,
scattered all
we were
about
removing
them,
were paper products
but
of some sort.
In all honesty, like he wasn't the one who went, "Hey guys, how about this? How about we all pick a lane and we all clean this up?" And I'll, you know,
right.
That was one of the times when I realized early on the power of teamwork and leadership. That's the story ship, the story where you can actually say, you showed some leadership on your own. But somebody else said that. He was just one of the guys who was made to clean the field, probably for cutting the hair of a fellow classmate or bullying somebody, and he was forced to do janitorial. Why was Mitt Romney forced to do janitorial work after a football game? What had he done that he had to receive the punishment?
Why was that punishment?
Why was he cleaning the field?
It smells of desperation. Did you see yesterday Rudy Giuliani said the president should resign over the nation's unemployment
Giuliani.
And that the president's incompetence has killed Americans.
Right.
He should resign! He told us he would resign if he did this poorly! Do you remember that? Do you remember that he told us that if he couldn't get employment above 6%, he wouldn't run for a second term.
He's despicable.
He lied.
He lied.
He has been a disaster.
Oh,
the worst president for our economy in our lifetime. He doesn't want a second term. He wants a second chance because he screwed it up the first time.
Oh, yeah. Worse. The worst double.
He's a bit unhinged.
To his credit, Giuliani is right. That is the worst doubling of the stock market I've ever seen.
Yes. Wow, I mean, whose job was it to clean the microphone after that?
That's the worst. Come on. 36 horrible. Months of continued job growth, uninterrupted job growth I've ever seen. That is the worst turnaround of adding jobs.
He argued that Mitt Romney's experience running the Olympics could have prevented the deaths of Americans in Libya.
What?
What?
By getting federal funds for it?
Je m'appelle Mitt Romney. Oh,
these are the desperate last fumes of the Romney campaign.
Last fumes. You're despicable.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the final moments with sexy liberal Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Just give it to me, baby. Give
me that stuff, that funk, that stuff, that funk is what?
Say what?
What?
What? What?
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with GoToMyPC. Mobile apps are amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. This is the special offer. GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code, Stephanie. They're already doing most memorable moments from the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed. The Clint Eastwood thing, it looked crazier because of his hair. There was something going on with his hair. It was really...
You want me to do what?
All right, Rupert Murdoch basically threatened Chris Christie, right?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't reaffirm his support of Romney, he will have to take the blame for the next four dire years. So, Chris Christie in the hostage video yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? I'm voting for Mitt Romney because I think he's the best guy for the job.
But it
doesn't mean that I can't turn to the President of the United States of America and say to him, thank you, sir, for providing good leadership in this crisis, and for helping the people of New Jersey, and to extend my hand of friendship to him.
That being said, he's voting for Obama. You know he is. You can't see in the booth. You know he's voting for Obama.
But yes, that's exactly what it means. Yeah. That's exactly what they hope it means. They need, it has to be this, you're not welcome in the White House front. I mean, that's what this has always been about, how dare you be on our turf.
Right. Oh, by the way, Becky says, Steph, my husband's for Obama, but we live in New York, and he believes Obama has New York sewn up, so he doesn't need to vote.
No.
You take this, Hal.
Oh, well, first of all, that's how they're trying to shave points off this. One of the reasons why, and some people genuinely believe this, that the...
We need to run up the popular vote, too.
Yeah, it has to be close to or equal if the Electoral College goes that way, and then there isn't one. They're going to use that to delegitimize this whole march. Secondly, judges...
Right.
Local officials, this is how they get you, that you have to pay attention. You have to, if you're not going to vote for president, you think he's got it in the bag, fine. Just go in there and check that one off without even thinking about it. But every other lower tier, that's how they're filling the federal court with all these anti-evolution, anti-choice, religious nutcases.
Right.
Who their top priority is fighting Sharia law while trying to impose Exodus law as if it's dissimilar in some way.
God, speaking of which, you can tell, again, like all these stories today are just desperation. Romney robocall accuses Obama of threatening our religious freedom.
What?
A robocall financed by the Romney falsely tells voters in Virginia that President Obama forced Christian organizations to offer insurance companies coverage that undermines blah, blah. Is there anything true in any robocalls or ads?
No.
We all know he gave religious institutions a religious exemption on the contraceptive.
Well, Paul Ryan was speaking to a group of evangelicals on Sunday night, said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, first of all, this is coming from the guy, you're coming from a Mormon who those same evangelicals think are a member of a cult, which is ironic enough. And then Ryan, who follows Ayn Rand and is pretending to not know that she was an atheist, and not just an atheist, but thought that anyone with a religious thought was mentally challenged, was retarded, this is her word, for believing that a deity could even exist in the first place. And he either... What was his two reasons for not knowing that she believed that when he was handing out her book to all of his staff members? And he's either stupid or lying. Yeah. There is no other answer. Right. There is no other answer. You have to be willfully, mentally deficient on purpose.
How about this one Rob Portman is trying in Ohio? Let's see. With multiple Republican governors have praised the administration's response in the aftermath of the Hurricane Sandy. Rob Portman on Saturday said some voters might blame President Obama for the government's relief efforts. Is this just grasping at straws? He emphasized the importance of FEMA in helping storm victims recover and argue voters could turn against the president if victims don't receive federal aid they were promised. So let me get this straight. Big government's bad. FEMA's bad. But they're going to blame Obama because they're not getting their government
enough. Well, it's an entitlement. Right. These are people who are just, these are scroungers. The 47% of people who houses were destroyed are clearly going to turn on the president, I guess.
Right. Meanwhile, Romney is a closing FEMA, but he's saying it may hurt the president because they aren't getting their free, you know, stuff. FEMA stuff fast. Mm-hmm. Cause, okay.
Yeah, and
How about this? Mediaite with a story about, you know, they have a little, they're size queens a little bit. No, they're always saying, Republicans used to make fun of adoring throngs because, you know, the president's too popular and he's a celebrity. And so you may have suspected all along this was merely an expression of jealousy. They just proved it because they did a thing with Kid Rock at, where was it, Red Rock Amphitheater?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he drew 10,000 people. Media writes 10,000 people. You know what the Obama campaign calls that? A slow day at the phone bank.
Yeah.
They have one. So, by the way, President Obama drew a larger crowd the next day in Denver without Kid Rock.
Right, by himself. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, it's this false storyline.
Should have brought meatloaf. That would have.
Yeah.
It's this false storyline of momentum, right? They're trying to go, oh, no, it's, you know.
Isn't that the event where people were clamoring to get out?
Yes.
Trying to escape?
Go, God!
Meatloaf is going to sing again!
Oh,
get me the hell out of here!
I don't think Mittens even sounds like he believes it. Here is Mittens on the campaign.
If the president were to be reelected, he would
continue to be black.
It's possible, but not likely.
Possible.
He
ooh.
Sound like
he said it's possible. That's what everybody. That's it's possible. That's why we have Paul Ryan campaigning in Alabama.
Because we
go from possible to certain that the president will get reelected if anybody talks to Paul Ryan for more than a half an hour.
Grant in Chicago, you're on with Hal. Hi, Grant.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right, you just pretty much so dropped all my points on Chris today. I think this is a little political ploy on his behalf to make it look like he can just jump over the bipartisan line for 2016.
Yeah.
Really haven't heard many people talk. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Bob in Asheville, North Carolina.
There's no question.
You're on the Stephanie
Good morning,
show.
Stephanie.
Hi,
I really love your show. I love
Thank
your
you.
Whole team. You guys are brilliant.
Thank you.
I just want to bring up the point that my generation lost tens of thousands of soldiers in Vietnam without the right to vote at 18 years old.
Right.
To be drafted. And I don't want these people to take that right for granted, and please do not let them take that right or suppress that right. It's too important. And I appreciate all you do.
Thank you, Winnie. I appreciate
your great point.
Your service.
If you're not going to vote, I want you to go explain that to a veteran.
Yeah.
Thank
Just
you.
Before, if you don't have the guts to get up and go to the polls.
And don't let them suppress your vote. Mike in Arizona.
Go find
a
veteran.
With what's happening over there. Hey, Mike.
Hi. My name's Michael from Arizona. I was just calling to let the nation know that the Senate campaign in Arizona, there's some voter suppression tactics already going on. The Republican Jeff Flake recently called thousands of registered Democrats in the state and gave them the wrong polling location.
Right.
So I just wanted to get the word out there. Like NBC News, the local affiliate, reported it, but nothing really seems to be going on. Like they don't really seem to be doing anything about it. But this is my first time calling. I just want to thank you all I listen to you every day.
Thank you, Mike. All right, and gotavote.org is where you can find out information about, you know,
what it takes to vote in your particular precinct.
And vote.barackobama.com will tell you where your polling place is, and they're on it. There's so many options. Here's the thing, but for anybody you know that isn't on the internet or is elderly or they just don't have that hookup or whatever, offer to look it up for them. Call your grandmother, even if she doesn't have a smartphone and all that kind of stuff, just go, actually, Grandma, I wanted to make sure you know your polling place is here.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever way you think she's going to vote, to get people out, make sure they know where they're supposed to go. Because here's the other thing. They may feel like they're going to turn away some, you know, of their own voters, but they'll blockade other Obama voters.
Yep, don't let them do it. House Sparks commands you. Go vote. We'll
vote.
See you tomorrow on Election Day on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Vote.